Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us together this morning so that we could worship through song, we could worship through prayer and giving, and we could worship through the reading and preaching of God's Word. Bless Pastor Cal as he comes, and he reads and preaches to us from your Word. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Boy, it's a good day for ducks, amen? I don't understand everything, you know, tornado watches, flood warnings, raining cats and dogs, snow on the ground. There's nothing like Tennessee weather, amen? You never know what's going to happen. But I'm just thankful that we were able to meet in God's house on God's day with God's people today. Amen. Thank you for being here. And I believe God's got a message for us this morning. I really do. And if you would be finding 1 Peter chapter 5, when you find 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. All right. If you can stand. If you can't, that's okay. Just honor God's Word. All right. This is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." Young folks say, uh-oh. Yes, all of you. Let me read that again. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And here's the key phrase in this passage. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Father, would you bless and honor the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. God, apply it to our lives. And Lord, when you touch us with your spirit today, when you convict us, when you challenge us with your word, God, help us to respond in obedience. Help us to do that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. It's a privilege, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak, change lives, save souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'm watching that river. Just keep rolling by, amen? We're in the second sermon of a series, a breakthrough series on humility. You remember last week we talked about getting that breakthrough of humility, and that's what I want to piggyback on again today, this morning. I know some of you won't quite understand this, but this past week was not only Valentine's week. Diane and I got a great gift. We got some tickets to the Vanderbilt-Auburn basketball game in Nashville. And it was, you know, Auburn has been one of the top-ranked teams in the nation all year long. And Vanderbilt plays tough at Memorial Gymnasium. And so Diane and I were excited about going to watch them play, and we invited another couple to go with us. And so, but the game started at 6 o'clock because of TV times. And so we're rushing around that afternoon trying to get ready. And so I put on my black pants and my pullover, and I put my Vanderbilt cap on, and I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden, Diana's in the closet, and all of a sudden I hear this. I don't have anything to wear. You girls know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I said, really? You've got three closets, and you've got a dozen drawers of clothes in this house, and you don't have anything to wear? She said, you just don't understand. I said, no, I don't. And she said, Vanderbilt's colors are black and gold, and I don't have a black and gold outfit. And I said, oh, okay. Let me just say this morning. You've got a garment, you've got a piece of clothing in your closet that may have been forgotten about. Or maybe you just hadn't put it on lately. But I want to tell you, you've got an important piece of clothing in your closet. And the Bible says we're to clothe ourselves with humility. We're to clothe ourselves with humility. Now, as we talked about last week, you remember the opposite. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. And the Bible's crystal clear about pride. Right here, God is resists the proud. It's one of the seven deadly sins in Proverbs 6. God hates pride. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so pride is, well, really, pride is what turned Lucifer into Satan. Pride is what stirred the heart of Eve to go eat some of that forbidden fruit. And the man who wrote this passage of Scripture understood what pride was all about. You remember on Simon Peter's greatest day before the resurrection, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter hit the nail on the head. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in just a few minutes later, Jesus reminded his disciples that he had to be crucified, buried, and on the third day he'd rise again. And you remember what Simon Peter said? He started rebuking the Lord. On the very night, Simon Peter denied the Lord. You remember Jesus had girded himself with a towel and he washed the feet of the disciples. And Jesus had made that astounding statement that tonight every one of you will run off and leave me in my greatest hour of need. And you remember what Simon Peter said? Well, these bums may do that, but not me. You can count on me. I'll be there for you. I'm going to stand with you. I'll be there for you. And then he even took matters into his own hands when they got in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? And he pulled out this little 18-inch blade and cut the ear off of the high priest's servant, a guy by the name of Malchus. You see what pride does. One of the things that pride does is it kills and chokes the leadership of God in our lives because we want to satisfy ourselves. Pride is a bad thing in the life of every believer, and we all struggle with it. Come on now. We all struggle with it, every one of us. And so as Simon Peter, who knew something about pride and had got him in major trouble, announces to the churches, clothe yourselves in humility. Clothe yourselves in humility. Now, humility is different from pride. You know, what pride does is it causes us to lean on our own understanding, rather than trusting in God. We think we know what's best. That's what pride does for us. And it gets us in major trouble. And it glorifies self rather than God. And humility is the exact opposite. Humility has the spirit of cooperation. And it wants to meet the needs that other people have. And will go to extreme lengths to meet the needs of others. and places other people more important than themselves. That's humility. And when we go into our spiritual closets and clothe ourselves in humility, there's some really cool things that happen. Are y'all ready? I can just tell you're just sitting on the edge of your seat. If we will clothe ourselves in humility on a regular basis, God will do some great things in our lives. And here's the first one. If you're reading your outline, you can make some notes with that. If not, just park it up here in that steel trap of a brain you got. And first thing it does, humility brings submission. Now, that may at first hit you in the wrong way because we don't like that way. You know, Americans don't surrender and submit to anything because after all, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we're self-made men and women, right? Wrong. Look at verse 5 again. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be, here's that word, submissive. Submissive. The word submissive here, brothers and sisters, is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's in the imperative language. We're to submit to one another. And it means to place oneself under authority. That's a tough thing sometimes for us to do, isn't it? And young folks, let me just speak to you for a minute. The younger crowd. I like hanging out with young people. I do. They make me feel young again. But the younger believers are to submit to the older believers out of respect for their age and their spiritual maturity. My dad told me several years ago, probably been 20 years ago, he said, son, about the time you really get to start knowing something, about the time you really begin to have some knowledge and information and wisdom and all, he said, you can't do anything about it. I didn't know what he meant then, but I know now. Amen? It was his health. And I don't know where, I've missed the golden years. Have y'all found them? All right. Billy Graham once said, getting old is not for sissies. That's another sermon for another day. But younger believers are to submit to older believers. Now, I know, you know, there are some folks in the, some church members who are in their 90s that are still sucking on baby bottles. They've never grown up, and that's a major problem. And I understand that. But we, younger crowd, we can submit to our older crowd because they're experienced. They've been at this longer than you have. And so you could submit to their leadership. And then on the other hand, it says we're to submit to everyone. And old folks, I'm talking about all the blue hairs in the building, we don't run the church. What is he talking about? We don't run the church. This is the Lord's church. He runs it. And we submit to the younger crowd. You see, old folks don't like change. Oh, come on, y'all. Old folks don't like change. And the younger crowd, they don't have any issues at all with change. They think it's a good thing. And so, do you see how we can use our strengths together? We're better together. And we submit and we surrender and we yield to one another. And how do I say this nicely? There is a generational war going on in a lot of our churches. That's not going to happen here. Because we're going to love one another. We're going to sit down at the table with one another. We're going to try to understand each other. We're going to try to figure out where she's coming from, where he's coming from, and we're going to submit to one another. Amen? That's who we are. Don't ever forget, we're trying to go the second mile to get people to Jesus, and we need everybody on board to do that. Glory to God. And so we're going to submit to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, how in the world can we submit one to another? By first of all, submitting to God. If you'll submit to Him first, you'll be able to surrender and yield and submit to other people. Why? He tells us right there in verse 5. He said, God gives grace to the humble. How many of you need grace this morning? Well, it comes through submitting to God. When we submit to Him, He supplies the grace. We brought up Dwight's favorite verse last week, Hebrews 4:16, I believe it is. You can come boldly. Therefore, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes, to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so as we submit first of all to God and we submit to each other and we realize that we've got to meet one another's needs and we've got to love one another. We don't even have to like one another, but we got to love one another. Then we can move toward this thing called grace. God supplies grace. And you need that in order to be willing to submit. You know, sometimes I think I've got the best plan. Now I'm sitting here looking at y'all and you just looking real spiritual. But Brother Cal doesn't always have the best plan. But you know who does? And sometimes God will use somebody in the church to say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And wouldn't it be great if we could do such and such? And invariably, that'll be something that I've been praying about. Isn't God good? All the time. Yeah, all the time. God is good. So that's the first thing that humility does. When we put on this cloak of humility, God helps us to submit to one another and to Him, and then He supplies grace to get the things done that He wants done. And then, by the way, this is not in the text, but, you know, when God supplies the grace for us, He gives us the resources to do what He wants done, and then guess what? He rewards you for doing it. How are you going to get a deal like that? Whew. All right, here's the second thing. Clothing yourselves in humility does. Humility brings exaltation. Exaltation. That's a big word. Look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, as we submit first of all to God, And place ourselves in His mighty hand, He leads us and He guides us and He directs our lives. If your life's out of control, it's because you haven't placed it under the control of the mighty hands of God. Boy, that's a great word right there for me. Because sometimes when things are all out of whack, yeah. And so I think about this, how do I say that? You remember Moses? I know you haven't met him, but you remember Moses. He spent 40 years under the mighty hand of God until God was ready for him to become the deliverer of the slaves in Egypt. And now Moses is considered the greatest prophet, especially by the Jewish people. And then you remember Joseph. He was under the mighty hand of God for 13 years as a slave to Potiphar. And then as a prisoner in prison. And then God, what did He do for him? He elevated him. He promoted him. He exalted him to second in command of all of Egypt. Under the mighty hand of God. And the key, I guess the key there is, did you see it? That He may exalt you when? In due time. That's the hard part, isn't it? In due time. God knows when you're ready. God knows when you have clothed yourselves in humility and you have experienced what He's done. You see, what trouble does is it teaches us patience. We celebrated Isaac's birthday this past weekend, and she was, man, running to and fro in the kitchen trying to get everything ready and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm trying to help her, and I wasn't helping very well. she said, I prayed for patience, and God sent Cal Hampton. Yes, you did. You did say that. Yes, you did. And if you didn't say it then, you said it before. So here's the deal, y'all. God has an unusual tool in his tool chest, in his tool belt. And it's suffering. Suffering is how God gets the glory out in our lives. And after you've been through a season of suffering, then you know what he does? In due time, when you're ready and it's his best, he exalts you. He's the lifter of our head. Well, that's why I love that song, Thou, O Lord, Psalm 3. And at just the right time, God comes along and he will exalt you. Well, what does that look like, Pastor? Well, a lot of different things, a lot of different ways. But there'll come a time when God's ready. You've been through these deplorable conditions. You know what I'm talking about. And you've experienced pain and suffering, and you've experienced all these things. And God says, well, it's about time. And he lifts you up. Amen. And he exalts you. And that, y'all, it might be in this life or the next life. It may be some type of spiritual blessing. Maybe it's you're bearing more spiritual fruit in your life than you ever have before. Maybe it's a deeper walk with God than you've ever had before. Maybe it's some special position of service. He has all kinds of ways of exalting us. And even sometimes, you know what he does? He'll reward you and honor you in front of other folks. But don't take the bait. It ain't you. It's him. It's Jesus. Man, I'll never forget. I pastored in Podunk Hollow, Waynesboro, for 20 years. And I told y'all about the Holy Ghost revival that came through prayer the last 7 or 8 years that we were there. And the Tennessee Baptist Convention was meeting at Brentwood Baptist Church. How many of y'all been to Brentwood Baptist Church? Two of you? Three of you? Y'all, again, we need to get out more often. Brentwood's a huge church. Of course, they got up buku resources. But at the convention the year before, somebody recommended that I preached the convention sermon at Brentwood. And immediately, it passed, believe it or not. And my knees started knocking just when I started thinking about that. He's the lifter of our heads. Because people had heard what God was doing down in Waynesboro. And our choir was there that day. There was about 50 of them there. And they sang, Thou, O Lord. And what was the other song y'all sang, babe? You remember? Something about patience, I guess. anyways. I started squalling. This is right before I had to walk across the platform and preach. And I was just, goodness. I was squalling, and I couldn't understand why God had exalted this little bitty church down in Waynesboro, Tennessee. But it was because he knew he would get the glory. And he got the glory that day. And I'll never forget it. He is the lifter of our head. In due season, in due time, after you have been through what God would have you to do, he will exalt you. Tell somebody, I'm ready. When he's ready, it'll happen. Now, here's the last thing, and I like this one. Man, humility brings compassion. humility brings compassion. Not only after we submit to God and submit to one another, and we go through the process of what God wants us to go through, and then He exalts us. Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Woo! I don't know. I'm just thankful for God's care in my life. His grace, His compassion, His mercy. Humility leads us to cast all our cares upon Him. Now, the word cast means to throw something at someone. I mean, it literally means to throw it. That's what we're to do with our burdens. We're to throw them and give them to the Lord. And the word care literally means the state of being pulled apart. Anxiety. Oh, the rubber's hitting the road now. We get all anxious and we get all tore up and we get worried, don't we? I said we. And what we're supposed to do with these cares, these anxieties, these burdens, is to lay them on the Lord Jesus. And when we do, y'all know He's the burden bearer. Bless God. He's the mountain mover. He is the wave walker. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's the satisfaction for my soul. And so when I've got negative stuff in my life, I simply just throw that burden on the Lord. And He's big enough to handle it. And He supplies His compassion, His grace, His mercy until I go back and pick that burden up again. Because don't you know God can't take care of it, but I can. Why do we do that? Once you let go of that burden, let God take care of it. And He can take care of it. And why? How? I like the last part of this. Don't miss this, for He cares for you. You're right, Dwight. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. He cares for you. And guess what? You can't do anything to stop that. And so He says, cast all your cares on me. Because I care for you. Whew, man. I wish I had a better vocabulary this morning, y'all. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much He cares for you? I've got my one and only son. And God gave up His one and only son so that we could be in relationship with Him. And Jesus paid the price for all my sin on the cross. And the Father had to turn His back on the Son for the first time in all of eternity because Jesus had all our sin upon Him. And He paid the price. He became the payment for our sin. And then He was buried so that our sins could be put away. Amen. And then on the third day, He rose again so that you might have life, life eternal. You tell me God doesn't care about you? Don't you ever let somebody tell you, well, you know, God hates me. God doesn't like me. God's mad at me. No. God cares for you. He loves you, and He's working on your behalf. You may not understand it. You may not be able to sense it or feel it or anything, but God loves you, and He cares for you. And He asks you, He's pleading with you, man, if you want my grace, if you want compassion, if you need mercy, I've got all of that stuff. And if you'll just cast all your care upon me, I'll bear that burden for you. And I'll give you what you need. You see, brothers and sisters, we do have something to wear. We're to clothe ourselves in humility. Would you just bow your head? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. It's time to do business with the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. This is the Lord's time and yours. How many of you would say, Brother Cal, I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm anxious. Thank you. I'm worried about something. Thank you. I don't understand something going on in my life right now. Thank you. There are hands going up all over the building. Thank you. And I need God's grace. I need His compassion. Well, here's the good news for you. If you'd be willing to go into that spiritual closet of yours and put on the garment of humility, God will give you the things that you need. You'll be in the mighty hand of God, and He'll give you the grace to trust Him, and He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. Because He just simply loves you and He cares for you. But now don't you go back and pick that burden up again. That's what a lot of us do. You just simply place it in His hands today, humbly, knowing that He can take care of things. We always have an altar call here every Sunday, and I'm going to ask you to come spiritually laying those burdens down in the Lord's lap. You're coming and just laying those burdens down in the Lord's lap today. We'll say, Father, I'm trusting You and You alone. I'm humbling myself before You. I'm doing what You're calling me to do. I'm going to pray for you. And by all means, if you are not saved, today is the day. We don't want you to leave here lost. We'll share with you how you can know that you're a believer, how you can come to faith in Jesus Christ, and He'll become your burden bearer. Father, I've preached the things You wanted me to preach today. And the only reason I've been able to do that, God, is because of You. If there's anything good in me, it's Jesus. And so I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for my friends. Oh God, do what only You can do during this time. Minister life to us, God. Help us to exercise our faith. Many people in here have never even been to an altar, or it's been 40 years. And an altar is a place to meet You, Father, and lay our burdens down. Help us, God, to do what You're calling us to do. Not what the pastor's telling us to do, but what the Spirit of the living God's showing us and telling us. And Lord Jesus, if there's one here who does not know if they're saved or lost, if they've ever been born again, oh, I pray, God, You'd give them the courage to come forward so that we can share Scripture with them and pray with them. And there are many others that need to let go of these burdens once and for all and receive the compassion that You have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's quietly, reverently stand. I want you to come. Don't wait. Just come on right now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.